John chapter 21 begins with the story of the Apostle Peter, who has decided to go back to fishing. Now, at dinner tonight, I had the opportunity to share with somebody who is a fisherman. But when Peter said this, he wasn't referring to leisure fishing, going out to the lake, going out to the stream and fishing. He was talking about going back to his former occupation of fishing. With him, six other disciples of Jesus Christ said, "We will also go with you." They went out. You know the story. They were out in the lake all night long. They didn't catch anything. In the early morning hours of the morning, Jesus Christ comes walking along the Sea of Galilee. And as he's walking along the sea, he calls out to his disciples, "Brethren, have you caught any meat?" Their response was, "No, we have toiled all night yet have caught nothing." Jesus says, "Cast your net on the other side." It's interesting that being professional fishermen, they would listen to somebody walking along the shore. But nonetheless, they took their nets out, they cast them on the other side of the boat. After they caught 153 fish, John calls over to Peter, "Peter, that's the Lord." Peter responds by grabbing his cloak, putting it on quickly, jumping off the boat, swimming to shore, leaving the work for the rest of the six disciples to do. To drag that net in. We come to verse 15, where Jesus Christ had finished eating a meal with the disciples. And he begins to question and begins to ask Peter about his life. He says this in verse 15, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep." As we look at this passage of Scripture, there's a couple of things we need to understand in order to understand the full impact of this passage of Scripture. You see, when Jesus Christ asked Simon, "Simon, do you love me?" he was referring to the love that he shared with the world when he came to die on the cross for our sins. He said, "Do you love me the same way I loved you?" in John chapter 3:16, "For God so loved that he gave." Peter responded with a word that is very near and dear to my heart, phileo. Kind of goes along with phileo adelphos, the city of brotherly love. I am from north of Philadelphia, so this speaks volumes to me. In Philadelphia, we don't say the city of brotherly love, we say the city of brotherly shove. But this is the idea that Peter responds with. Do you love me sacrificially? Yes, Lord, I love you like a brother. Are you sure you love me sacrificially? Yes, Lord, you know that I love you like a brother. Jesus Christ responds the third time with the same word Peter used. That's why he was grieved. He says, "Do you even love me like a brother?" Peter responded, "You know all things, Lord. You know that I love you like a brother." Jesus responds again with, "Feed my sheep." Jesus Christ was giving Peter a personal commission. And I believe it goes beyond pastoring a church. Although the words that he uses here are two different words. Again, feed to actually give food to, and in the light of the Scriptures would be the Word of God. The meat of the Word. The second word he uses is the word of pastor, my sheep. Guard, protect, guide, lead them. Lead them to the food that they need to receive in order to grow. But as we look at this passage of Scripture, there's a question that has often run through my mind. How did Peter get here? How did Peter get to this place in the ministry that he was involved with to turn his back on the Lord Jesus Christ and to walk away and go back to fishing? Let's turn to Luke chapter 5. In Luke chapter 5, once again, the Lord Jesus Christ is walking along the Sea of Galilee. The disciples, instead of fishing, had their nets out. They were mending their nets. They were fixing them. They were cleaning them. They were getting them ready for the next night of fishing. And as Jesus Christ is walking along the shore, there is a mob of people that were pressing so hard against him as he was trying to teach them and heal them and take care of their physical and spiritual needs that he climbed up into Peter's boat and he said, launch out a little bit from the shore. So he pulls his boat back away from the shore and Jesus Christ begins to preach and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's interesting to note about that message is that not a word of it is recorded in Luke's gospel. What is recorded is at the conclusion when Jesus says to Peter, launch out into the deep and let down your nets. Once again, Peter came up with the same response. Lord, we have toiled all night, yet we have caught nothing. But at your word, we will let down the nets. They went out into the deep part of the sea, which is not typical for fishing. Living in the Philippines where we did live, we lived in a bay. And the bay was, every night, it was all lit up. The fishermen were out there. They had their Petromax lamps along the side of the boat, drawing the fish in and then encircling those fish with the nets and bringing in their catch for the morning. Peter understood that the best time for fishing was at night. The night was already past. It was daytime. It was preparation time for the next night. They were to go out into the deep. That's not where they normally fish. And I was mentioning to one of the young people tonight at dinner, we went diving in a place called Balikasag. Balikasag is an island that just is like a mushroom. It goes straight down to the bottom of the bay, 600 feet straight down. And we were diving around looking at the coral reef, but I wasn't looking so much at the coral reef. I was looking behind me at the darkness of the ocean, hoping not to see a shark or barracuda or something else that would be attracted to the bright glitter. But there was nothing out there. And as Jesus Christ said, launch out into the deep, if you take Google Maps and zoom in on the Sea of Galilee, you can see that the lake goes out and then drops down very deep. They fish along the outside. They fish along the coast where the fish are. Jesus Christ told them to do two things that were abnormal for fishermen to do. Fish in the deep and fish in the day. But they did it. As Peter and Andrew started bringing in their nets, the net became so heavy it began to pull their boat down in the sea. They motioned over to James and John with their boat. They came out and they began to fill both of these ships, so they both began to sink under the weight of the fish. I've seen a lot of boats come in Katbalogan. A lot loaded down with fish, but none so close to even coming close to sinking in the water. Peter, upon seeing that, falls down on his face before the Lord Jesus Christ and says, depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man. And as he says these words, I'm sure what flashed through his mind was the scene that Isaiah saw in Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah is standing in the throne room of God, and this was mentioned several times already today, how that God was there, elevated in front of Isaiah. His train filled the temple area. The seraphim called back and forth, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The earth is filled with his glory. And as they did that, the whole building shook, and Isaiah could feel this, and he falls down before Almighty God, and he says, woe is me, for I am undone. I am an absolutely worthless individual. The seraphim takes a coal from off the fire and touches the lips of Isaiah and says, this has touched your lips. It has cleansed your sin. It has purged you from your sin. And I can imagine as Peter falls down before the Lord Jesus Christ, he's thinking about this. This is the same Almighty God that Isaiah faced in his experience. And as he falls down before God and cries out to God, the Lord says unto him, fear not. From now on, you will catch fish. Peter's an interesting character, as you may have already figured out. As he served with the Lord Jesus Christ for 3.5 years, he had an amazing way of putting a tremendous damper on every victory that could have possibly come his way. You recall the time when Jesus Christ fed the 5,000. He walks the disciples down to the ship. He puts them on the ship. He sends them off to go back to Capernaum or the other side of the sea. And he goes up into the mountain to pray. And while he's up in the mountain praying, the colder winds from the mountaintops on the east side of the Sea of Galilee come rushing down over the sea where it's tropical or semi-tropical. The cold air mixes with the warm air over the Sea of Galilee and causes a tremendous storm. The Bible says Jesus Christ saw them from where he was. And he came walking to Jesus Christ on the sea. Or he came walking to the disciples on the sea. And as he comes walking to the disciples on the sea, they see him. They're afraid. It's a ghost. Jesus Christ again says, "Fear not, it is I." Peter then says, "If it is you, command that I come unto you on the water, walking to you." He says, "Come." The other disciples are looking at him saying, "What is this nut doing?" He begins to climb out of the boat. He begins to walk toward Jesus Christ. And as he begins to walk toward Jesus Christ, the winds begin to beat upon him. And as the winds begin to beat upon him, he begins to look at the sea just dancing in front of him. And as he begins looking at that sea, he becomes afraid. And he takes his eyes off the Lord Jesus Christ and he begins to go down. "Lord, save me," he cries out. Jesus Christ grabs him by the hand and said, "Oh, ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" The creator of the universe was standing before him. The one who controls that sea was standing before him. But he doubted. Another time, Peter, James, and John were with Jesus Christ as he went up to the mount of what we call the Transfiguration, where Jesus Christ was transfigured before the Lord, before the disciples. Said his clothes became so shining and glistening while he was there. And while they changed colors, Moses and Elijah appears unto them, and the disciples are amazed. And they begin to talk about his death, which was soon to come. And Peter opens his mouth. And he says, "Lord, it's great for us to be here, but do you want us to make booths for you?" Now, why on earth would he say that? But as he concludes saying that, a cloud from heaven overshadows them all. And God Almighty says to them, "This is my beloved Son. Hear ye him." Luke chapter 22. We come to the point of time just before the death of Christ. And if I'm not mistaken, this is what we would consider the Seder meal that Jesus was partaking with the disciples. And as they are together, you can find pretty much of what Jesus Christ said in John, beginning with chapter 11, going all the way through chapter 16. A lot of conversation there. But at one point in the conversation, he starts to announce that one of them will betray him. And they're all saying, "Who is it? Is it me, Lord? Is it me, Lord? Is it me?" And Peter signals over to John, "John, ask him who it is." So John asked Jesus Christ who it was. And Jesus Christ said, "It's the one to whom I give the sop, the bread." He dips the bread and he gives it to Judas Iscariot. Says, "What thou doest, do quickly." Judas Iscariot leaves. And then another debate ensues. And Peter says, "You know, I'm willing to go to prison with you. I'm willing to go to death with you if necessary." Jesus Christ looks at Peter and says, "Peter, Satan has desire to sift you as wheat. But," he says, "when you have been converted, strengthen your brethren." You know how the story goes later on. They leave that room. They go out into the Garden of Gethsemane. Jesus Christ leaves the other eight disciples at the edge of the garden so that they can protect and guard. Peter, James, and John once again have the privilege and opportunity to go with Jesus Christ into the interior of the garden where he goes down to pray. He leaves the disciples behind. He comes back an hour later and they're all asleep. This happens several times and they go to the judgment hall. Judas betrays the Lord Jesus Christ. He's taken in. According to John, it indicates that John and Peter both went down to the judgment hall with him. John speaks to the maiden. She lets Peter come into the outer court where there's a fire burning. And John proceeds to the inside where Jesus Christ is being tried. Peter is standing out there outside that building where Caiaphas was questioning Jesus Christ. And he was trying to watch inside. And this maiden girl is looking at him and says, "You are one of them." Peter says, "I don't know what you're talking about. I'm not one of them. I wasn't with him." A little while later, another person walks up to him and says, "Surely you're one of them. You're just like them. You're with all of them." "No, no, I don't know what you're talking about," he says. And a third time, another maiden girl comes up to him and says, "Surely you are with him. Your speech betrays you." Why would they say that? I work in Roxbury, New York, as a pastor right now. In my church, I have some people from Long Island. They have a very distinct tone on the English language. And Peter was one of those that had a very distinct dialect for the Jewish people. In fact, if you look back in the Old Testament, when the Ephraimites had a problem with the others, they started a conflict between the Ephraimites and the rest of Israel. And as they were trying to flee back into Ephraim to get away, the rest of Israel seized the fords of the Jordan. And as they crossed, they would say to them, "Say Shibboleth." Well, they couldn't say Shibboleth, so they said Sibboleth. That's how they knew they were Ephraimites. They spoke differently. The Galileans spoke differently than those that were down in Judea and Jerusalem. That's how they knew they were that he was a Galilean. The Bible says he swore and said, "I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about." The Bible says immediately the cock crew, and when the cock crew, Jesus Christ looked through those doors and looked at Peter, and it smote Peter like a dagger in the heart. The Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. We come back to Luke or John chapter 21. We can understand the discouragement now from that point of Peter's life. He had served with the Lord Jesus Christ, and at the very end, he denied him. He denied that he ever knew him. Peter's discouraged tremendously. And I don't know if this is where you are in your life. I don't know if you've had failings in your life that you need to deal with. But Jesus Christ dealt with Peter. In verse 18, it says, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hand, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not." This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, "Follow me." Most of you are in school. I'm sure from time to time, some of you go to class completely unprepared. I hate to admit this, but periodically when I was in school, in second or third grade, that happened to me. And I remember sitting in class being called to go to the blackboard and doing a problem on the blackboard, and the sweat just starts pouring off of you. You're scared to death, you're embarrassed, you walk up there, you don't have any answers for the teacher, and you're embarrassed. Peter was in the spotlight. Peter was getting all the attention from the Lord Jesus Christ. There's six other guys sitting around here. "Lord, please talk to one of them. What about this one?" Jesus responds, "If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? You follow me." Do you think Peter got the idea? In Acts chapter 1, verse 7, Jesus Christ tells the disciples to remain in Jerusalem until the Holy Spirit has come upon them. And in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, these words are recorded, "And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of them." The number of the group there at that point was 120. The beginning of Acts chapter 2, we've got the story of the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit comes upon them in their prayer time, and it moves each one. They go out into the streets of Jerusalem. They begin to proclaim the word of God. And what is listed here is 15 different tongues that they are begin to preaching in. They begin to speak in. Some of those in Jerusalem began to mock and say, "These people are mad. They're drunk." And I think it was that word that really upset Peter, because then he began to stand up and he began to preach and proclaim the word of God. Down in verse 16, we'll pick up from there. It says, "But this is that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, the moon into blood, before the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held of it. Verse 32. This Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this which ye now see and hear. For David is not ascended into the heavens, but he saith unto himself, the Lord saith unto my Lord, sit down thou on my right hand until I make thy foes thy footstool. Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus whom ye crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts, and said unto Peter and to the rest of those apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as of the Lord God shall call. Verse 41, then they that gladly received the word were baptized, and the same day they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Do you think Peter caught a vision of what God wanted him to do? Do you think Peter began to understand what Jesus Christ meant when he said, follow me? In Acts chapter 3, we have another story. In this story, Peter and John are walking into the temple area. And as they're walking into the temple area, there's a lame man laying on the ground. Another familiar scene in Kapalogan, where we used to live, right next door to us was the supermarket. And outside the supermarket, there was an emaciated beggar who would lay by the gate of the door. And as you would walk in, he would let you walk in. But when you came back out, he would stick out his finger and flick you on the ankle. And if you were just wearing flip-flops, it hurt. I always wore sneakers and socks and long pants, so it didn't bother me too much. But my wife would come home complaining sometime that he really got her that time. But they'd lay out there, they reach out their hand, and they beg. My guess is that everybody in Kapalogan knew who that man was, maybe didn't know his name, but always saw that same individual at that gate of that store. The same was true here. This man laid in the temple area, always begging. Every time somebody would walk by, he'd have his hand out. He'd had his hand out the other way. He's trying to get as much money as possible to sustain his lifestyle. Peter and John walked through and said unto the man, look unto us. And with a lightning bolt, his hand goes out. And as Peter and John were talking to this man, they said, silver and gold have we none, but what we have give we unto thee. In the name of Jesus Christ, arise and walk. And as this man was pulled to his feet by Peter, strength was regained in his legs, and he was able to leap and to jump and to run around, and he began to cling onto Peter and John. He was all excited, and as the people walking by began to see what was going on, they saw. Those that were very close. And as they saw, they began to gather around Peter. And Peter began to see this huge crowd gathering around him. Then he began to preach the word of God. Do you think it's because of our power that we've done this to this man? It's not because of us. It's because of Jesus Christ of Nazareth that this man is made whole today. What a powerful message he preaches then. Beginning with verse 13, it says, the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus Christ, whom ye delivered and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Verse 19, repent ye, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He quotes from Moses, where he says that there's going to be a prophet that's going to be raised up that is going to be like unto me. Verse 24, yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that followed after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Again, repeating what Dr. Little said this morning. Unto you first God, having raised up his son Jesus Christ, sent him to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. When he started preaching the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the Sadducees, who don't believe in the resurrection, they don't believe in angels, they sent the temple guards out to get them. They drug them in before them. What does chapter 4 say? Verse 1, and as they spake unto the people, the priest and the captain of the temple of the Sadducees came unto them, being grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead, and they laid hands on them and put them into the hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. Howbeit, many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. Somebody once said, the world has yet to see a man that is wholly dedicated to God. And I know that wasn't quoted exactly right, but I think you should get the idea. When are we going to see something like this again? When are we going to see a man that has come to grips with what the Lord Jesus Christ wants each and every one of us to do? Are you following him? Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ, for the challenge we can receive from the life of Peter. Father, we pray that you would use the word this evening in the hearts and the lives of each one that is here to be moved by you to service for you. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.